Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
We read the passage from Romans chapter 5. And as we did, we remarked, God commended His love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When you think of this word love, we're thinking of what the Bible is recording, Jesus' very own words. Prior to His crucifixion, Jesus Christ is with His disciples in the Last Supper when He instituted the Lord's Supper, when He introduced the communion service, when He passed the bread one to the other, when the cup was passed one to the other, when there was a recognition of the fact that He was doing this for them, and that their recognition was that He was indeed giving Himself for them, for their souls, for their salvation. That's why He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus did for us. That's what He has done for all sinners, even the chiefest of sinners, even the vilest of sinners, even the ones who are the most ungrateful of sinners, or those who continually live in defiance against Almighty God, yet greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. When you think of the word love, the Old Testament word has the idea of not so much an emotional feeling for or a verbal expression, but a voluntary commitment to actively give the very best of oneself for another. The very nature of love is unconditional, selfless, sincere giving. When He said He loved us, He showed us He loved us. And as He showed us He loved us, we know that He loved us. The New Testament word echoes this very same concept, agape. It's found in 1 John 3, and it's sprinkled throughout the entirety of the New Testament. It's also including an intricate connection to yielding to the indwelling Holy Spirit's control. When He showed His love for us unconditionally, sacrificially, willingly, personally, purposely, we indeed are recipients of that. But even tonight, we get the opportunity to manifest our love for Him. Love cannot be manifested without the control of the Holy Spirit. So I pray and trust we're all yielded to the Spirit of God tonight as we manifest our love back to Him and would manifest the love one toward another. And when you think about this great love that He has shown to us, He didn't really have to. He wanted to. He did need to. And yes, He did have to. Do we appreciate that great love which He had shown to us? Greater love hath no man than this. When you think of the idea of love itself, He's talking about the maximum demonstration of love. If you could put love on a tier of great to greater to greatest, it would probably blow the scale way off, because giving of yourself to die in the place, the perfect for the imperfect, the sinless for the sinful, the Son of God for human beings. That is found in no other place in any other human history record. That is not found in any other religious system. That's what makes Christianity not so much a religion, but a relationship. This is what Jesus did for you. What Jesus did for me. This is what Jesus Christ did for us. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for his enemies. You know, the word greater comes from the word mega. We hear a lot in the news about mega. It's all over the political scene with certain individuals. But it's used of intensity of degree of committed devotion and loyalty. No one possesses a higher or deeper love than his love for you. No one. I love my dear wife, but you know something? His love for me is far greater. I love my mom, but his love for me is far greater than my love for her. I love you all here dearly, but his love is far greater than that. When was the last time you focused on and considered his great love for you? You see, no one manifested a better or superior quality of love. You talk about certain levels of purity. You go to the grocery store, you can get real vanilla extract, or you can get imitation vanilla. And there's a big difference. You can have somebody say, I love you. And then you can have also somebody say it and show it. Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit of God, not only said it, not only proved it, not only showed it, but there's no other equivalence to that. That's why tonight, as we observe the Lord's Supper, it's a recognition of and a reflection upon his love for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life. You know what's interesting about this? It was not that Jesus Christ himself was forced into a crucifixion. It was not that Jesus Christ was compelled to the cross. You see the verbiage here? You see the sentence? Lay down his life. That means Jesus Christ individually chose to give up his life for you. He went to the cross willingly. He went to the cross voluntarily for you. He went to the cross knowing that you should bear the penalty for your own sin. He went to the cross knowing that the pardon that should be paid for sin should be yours. But he also knew that your sin debt was so great, you couldn't do it. He also knew that there was no way that God could be appeased for the holy heavenly offense against him for violating his word and overstepping his boundaries and being condemned for that. You see, Jesus loved you so much, he took your condemnation. Think about it for a moment. Everybody sitting in this room, we collectively observe the Lord's Supper because his love that we've embraced, accepted, and experienced and enjoyed in our salvation is something that we all are enjoying, experiencing, and having and possessing together. I think that's why the Lord's Supper was given to the church, so that we all can appreciate together what he has done for us. So we collectively can knit our hearts together, knowing that as much as he loved you, he loved you. As much as he loved you, he loved you. As much as he loved you, he loved you. You see, the degree of his love was the same for every single believer. His love was great towards you because it was great towards every single believer, every single repentant believer, every single sinner. Greater love is no man this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And when you go back to that Romans passage, you see he not only laid down his life for his friends, but he laid down his life for his enemies. His life. It's actually reading the life, psuche. It can also be translated the soul, the very essence of his livelihood, his living, his being. The life of him. You see, He parted with the highest valued possession, and that is life. That is life. He gave up something so precious and priceless, his very life. He willingly chose to do that which is irreversible, unrepeatable. He did it once and once for all, it says in the book of Hebrews. That's why we can appreciate it so much, because this valuable life of Jesus Christ, the perfect sinless Son of God, was once for all sacrificed. It marks the greatest demonstration of love for any single human being. Can't reverse it. And you can't repeat it. Any attempt to repeat it would fail. There's no need to ever reverse it. Think about that for a moment. This is what Jesus did for you and me. This is what makes salvation so precious. This is what makes the gift of eternal life so priceless. And this is what makes the Lord's Supper something for which we'd be so grateful. Something for which we'd be so thankful. Something for which we would ever remember, because how could you ever forget something that was done for you that could not be ever done again? How could we ever neglect so great a salvation because we have so great a Savior? And I am so grateful that our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe it's a very demonstration of grace and mercy to you and I who are sinful human beings, yea, saved by the blood of Christ, but we still, in our humanity, can be negligent. We can be forgetful. And I think He does this for us so that we do not forget, so we do not neglect. And one of the things is, yes, we may do it tonight. We've done it last month. But one of the things we do is we do it, but we don't forget it. So when you wake up tomorrow, the significance of, the reminder of, and the doing of should be just as real as we have done tonight. When you think even more, God commendeth His love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. Again, I don't know any other act, any other demonstration of love that could be so monumental, so significant, and so purposeful. Even more of a reason why then we who know Jesus Christ as personal Savior not only do not forget it, but we also live, because when we live for Him, it is a demonstration of our thanksgiving. It is a showing forth of our appreciation for what He has done. I mean, if we just observe the Lord's Supper, go through the motions and go back to our day and end up living a sinful, unrepentant activity, lifestyle, or whatever, then do we really appreciate what He has done for us? Are we really thankful? Now, obviously, God is not expecting perfection from us. But I believe this reminder should kind of be one of those reality checks, and that's why in the passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let a man examine himself. By the way, as we think about it, it's the Apostle Paul who I don't think ever got over his salvation. You know what I mean by that? He never forgot it. His salvation was so significant. His salvation was so transforming. His salvation was so appreciated. His salvation was so priceless. He didn't ever want to forget it. There are certain events in our lives we don't ever want to forget. Birth of children, wedding days, visiting sites, certain other events, activities. You know what? Things that are important to you and things that are meaningful to you, you don't forget. You won't forget them. There are times I walk out of the phone. I walk out of the phone without my house. I walk out of the house without my phone. I can live with that. But I don't want to forget, leave my house, and forget Jesus died for me. Jesus gave himself for me because he loved my soul. He loved me when I was unlovely and unlovable. Thinking of that greater love, hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Thinking of this passage of Scripture and going now to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as I step down and take a moment to consider and reflect. I'm going to invite the deacons at this point to walk forward and join me here in the front as this explanation of the Lord's Supper is given. And then we will all partake together in a full remembrance and a reflection of what Jesus Christ has done for us. I hope it resonates with you. It does to me. Oh, what a great love that my Heavenly Father showed to me. The one thing that was missing in my life, and I don't say this as a victim, I never had an earthly father who was able to say, I love you. But I've had a Heavenly Father who has often not only said it, but he has shown it to me. And he shows it to me continually. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we have an explanation of what Paul gave to the Corinthians who were negligent in their observing of the Lord's Supper, who needed to be corrected. I pray that we'd never be negligent. I pray that we'd never have to be corrected. I pray that we'd remember what Jesus did for us forever so that we can observe the Lord's Supper with the right heart, right motive, and for all the right reasons. Follow with me just a few thoughts before we partake. For I have received, the Apostle Paul writing, I have received from the Lord, meaning this came directly from Jesus, what we are doing here tonight and what we do every time we observe the Lord's Supper is not some invention of man. It's not some tradition of Baptists. It's just not some rite or ritual in the church. This is directly delegated to and given to the church, given to the believers. On the same night in which the Lord was betrayed, can you imagine that? Judas is betraying the Lord Jesus Christ while he is doing this, because if indeed Judas is not present during the Lord's Supper, which is a possibility, then Jesus is saying this as Judas is gathering the troops, the religious leaders, to come and arrest Jesus Christ. He is betraying him in the very act. And yet Jesus continues to give this ordinance known as the Lord's Supper, this communion table. And the night he was betrayed, he took the bread. It's Passover. Passover required the eating of unleavened bread. Remember during the Exodus, the Israelites had to depart very quickly. The death angel came at midnight, by the way. So their departure is very early in the morning. 12:30, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. They left so abruptly. They had to leave with the bread unleavened. The purpose behind that is explained even further with the Passover lamb himself and what leaven means. But he took the bread and he said, take, eat. As he broke it, that means it was in loaf fashion. So he took a piece, handed it. Each one took a piece, broke it off. And he said, take, 8. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. So the bread, there's no mystical, magical powers in this bread. There's nothing of saving grace that is provided to you through this bread. All the saving grace that was provided for your salvation was when Jesus literally and actually and physically put himself on the cross of Calvary to be your sin bearer, to be your substitute, take your sin upon himself. We don't believe that any words I say can magically, mystically turn this into the body of Christ so that you are ingesting and getting any saving grace. We don't believe that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. We are doing this. Remember, too. Look at the words. This do in what? Remembrance of me. He doesn't say this do to get more saved. He doesn't say this do to obtain more grace. He doesn't say this do so that your rite and ritual is currying more favor with God. No, he says this is an act of remembrance. And quite honestly, he's doing this even before he died. So he's saying to the disciples, you're doing this in remembrance of me. Not just what I'm doing on the cross, but in remembrance of the one who is on the cross. Because while your salvation is provided by Jesus taking upon himself your sin on the cross, your salvation is provided by the very person on the cross. Because he's the one who loved you. The cross didn't love you. Jesus loved you on the cross. Jesus loved you taking your sin upon himself. Jesus loved you bearing the consequences of your sin and appeasing God's wrath for your condemnation. He then passed it and he said, this do in remembrance of me. We're going to, in a moment, have the deacon stand, have a word of thanksgiving, because actually that's what Jesus did. He gave thanks. He broke it. He gave to them. And I've said it oftentimes, I would have loved to have been there to hear what Jesus said in his prayer of thanksgiving, going to the cross to bear the sins of every single one of them. He then also took the cup. And when he took the cup, he said, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now once again, this cup, reflecting and representing his blood being shed, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. You see, there's no saving grace in any part of the substance of this juice. All the saving grace has been provided through Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary and all the covering. Aren't you glad the Bible says love covers the multitude of sins? Now, it doesn't mean it sweeps it under the rug, but love is what makes sin forgiveness, sin's removal, sin's complete pardon possible. Well, we also see this cup. You do this as often as you drink it. And once again, in remembrance of me. In the prayer that the deacons will pray with thanksgiving for the juice, for that which represents Jesus' blood, that will not transform this juice into the actual physical blood of Christ. We do not re-crucify Christ all over again. Matter of fact, the book of Hebrews says he was crucified. He died once for all. On the cross of Calvary, he said these words, it is finished. Going on further, he says, for as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death. It's interesting, the plural and the show. As a church congregation, we are giving a report, if you will. We are declaring that Jesus Christ has died for us, and we're doing this until he comes. So you have a prophetic mention and a promise. He's coming again. I don't know about you, but I can echo the words of the Apostle John. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But until he does come, we're faithfully occupying and doing his work and doing his business. Then he adds on top of this, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily, the word unworthily deserves some attention. It means flippantly, casually, nonchalantly, without even fully regarding what it means. Just doing it perhaps as a tack on, maybe as a snack. Maybe I got to do this. No. We don't do it that way. That's why we give time as a gentleman are passing the bread and then later the cup, as the piano will play in the background. It gives you time to reflect upon why we're doing this. Because Jesus loves us so much. God loved you so much. He gave himself to save your soul. He says, if you do it unflippantly, you're guilty of the very body and blood of the Lord. You're taking it and you're actually doing a disgrace and a shame. But let a man examine himself. That word examine means do some introspection, personal inventory. Number one, I pray and trust that as I'm talking to you tonight, you're all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, so you don't have to examine yourself to see whether you're saved or not. I pray that that's understood. But the examination is, number one, am I right with God? Am I reflecting upon and remembering what Jesus did for me? Am I truly appreciating this great salvation? Am I living it? Am I right with others? If I'm not right with God, don't participate. If I'm not right with others, don't participate. And I'm not trying to police the table, so to speak, but there is indeed a necessity for me to give this warning, because that's essentially what the Apostle Paul is doing here. Why? Because he does say, he that eats and drinks unworthily, you're actually jeopardizing yourself. He that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation, judgment, God's punishment. He is so serious about our internal appreciation and our thoughtful thanksgiving for what he has done that to be doing it any other way is a slap in the face to God. He says, for this cause, unworthily partaking, nonchalantly, flippantly, not properly observing the Lord's Supper. There are those who are weak. That means they've been physically afflicted. Sickly, that means they are chronically conditioned in such a way that they are physically suffering. And some sleep. That's a euphemistic expression. They died. It's that serious. However, without being a prophet of doom, if you're here tonight, you've been saved through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're right with him. Your purpose for observing this is biblically thanksgiving and appreciation. Partake with joy and appreciation and thanksgiving for what he has done. Well, we're going to ask our deacons at this point. I'm going to ask them to stand. And here's what we'll do. We will give thanksgiving for the bread that represents the body of Christ. They'll distribute. They will come back. We'll all partake together. The piano will play as they are distributing, and that gives you opportunity to examine yourself. And then when they come back, we'll all partake together. We'll repeat then with the cup. Give thanksgiving for that which Jesus has done. He gave thanks. Distribute, examine, partake together, conclude with a song and fellowship. Let's thank the Lord for that which represents his body on the cross. Obed, would you thank the Lord for that which represents the body of Christ on the cross of Calvary for us, for our sins? When he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. I'm going to ask our deacons to stand again. It says, and when he took the cup, when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. Alex, would you thank the Lord for that which represents the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cover our sins. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your love for us. We are so undeserving. Greater loveth no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And we thank you that our Lord Jesus Christ willingly laid down his life for us and for all those so undeserving. And yet, Lord, there's no greater love than what you've shown to us. Thank you. Let us remember the great salvation you provided for us. Let us leave from this time renewed afresh of the wonderful shed blood, marvelous cleansing that we've received, total forgiveness, and the removal of the condemnation that we so deserve. Thank you so much for that. Lord, I pray also that we would manifest our love for you, for the love that you've manifested toward us. Father, I pray that we'd ever be not only just in love with you, but yea, loving one another in Christ, like you would have us to do so, like you do for us. As we leave from this place, I pray, oh God, that we'd have a renewed appreciation and a greater thanksgiving for so great a salvation in Jesus Christ. Bless, Lord, I ask. In Jesus' precious name, I pray it. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I trust it has been a blessing to your heart. As mentioned at the beginning of this recording, let me take the opportunity to share with you how you can know God personally by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not done so already. Thankfully, God reveals in the Bible that you can have the absolute confidence, a full assurance of eternal life in heaven. I invite you to click on the Salvation tab on the homepage and read the gospel message, or call me at the church office at 908-788-2672 to talk about God's gift of eternal life. Also, we welcome you to visit any of our services here at Heritage Baptist Church at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, just off State Highway 12 in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:30 a.m., followed by our morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. Our evening service is at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday prayer time, Bible study, and children's ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thanks again, and have a great day for His glory, honor, and praise.